All right, good morning, you all. It's great to see you today. So if I haven't met you, my name is Dove, and I'm one of the two pastors here. Just start with a story. When I was in college, it was kind of fun. I moved to a different town than I grew up in, and my great aunt and uncle just happened to live in that town, which I didn't know them. I had never met them before. And my great aunt had been on oxygen since she was in her 30s. She had a lung condition, so they were really homebound, especially her. And so I would come over and visit them fairly regularly, which I really enjoyed for the most part. But I think because my great aunt was so lonely and cooped up, she would talk and talk and talk and talk to me, and then I would be late to class. And I'd be standing at the door, like, hey, I got to run. I got my bike there. And she would just keep me at the door and just keep talking and keep talking to me. And it was like, because of who I am, it's like really hard for me just to cut that off. And some of you guys, that's easy. Bless you. But for me, it was like, and I would be there and I'd be watching the clock. I'm not really in the conversation. It's kind of a waste of time. But I don't want to hurt her feelings, and so I just keep listening. And then I would finally leave. I'd get on my bike, and I would ride so fast. I'd get to class, and think my heart was going to jump out of my chest. Just be exhausted. And then next time, I'd do the same thing again. But I've often said, you know, next time I'm going to not be so people-pleasing in this situation. And as I look at that, I realize that even though it feels like it comes from a really good heart, like, hey, I really care about this person and I want to be there with them, it actually comes from a place of fear. And I never would have, like, identified that very easily, but recently to realize there's a fear in there. And as I look around this world, I see how much fear we have just as human beings. And I gave a message before just kind of talking about that fear that we have of pain and death. There's such a fear of loss. But I also see, not just in myself, but in this world, a lot of fear in relationships. We have so much fear connected to our interactions with other people. And so I want to look at that today and just kind of look at the fear that can be a part of relationships. And so as we go through this, some of this I think is really going to connect to you, and some of it is not. So I want you to try to look at the part that does connect for you. So maybe your expression of fear doesn't come out in people-pleasing. Like, that's immature. Like, yeah, it is. Let's just get over that. So it's not necessarily thinking about fear in other people, like, oh, my spouse, I really see that in them. But I trust there's something that connects with you, and I want to just encourage you to kind of focus on those things. I am convinced that as we grow in our relationship connected to God's love, we can outgrow these fears that we have in relationships. And some of you guys are much further along than I am, which is fantastic. And so, why don't we dig into this? Let's just start with some prayer. God, I thank you that your love is so fantastic. Your love is enough. Your love chases me down and hunts me, is relentless. Thank you for loving me so much, God. God, I pray today that you would give us what we need to trust you more and more, to know who we are, that we might live in a really deep love in our relationships, not connected to fear. I ask that you would grow us. Take us a step further today. I just acknowledge that I have no power in that, but you do. You have some amazing things to speak to us. I pray you give us open hearts to hear what you would want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So first, I just want to look a little bit of that fear in that we have And so maybe some of these will connect with you and some not. But I think there's a fear of being hurt by someone. And there's also a fear of us hurting someone else. And there's a fear of being labeled or mocked, ostracized. For some of us, there's a real fear of conflict, a fear of being insulted or belittled, being laughed at, a fear of being a loser in an argument, a fear of looking stupid, a fear of being avoided or distanced, or maybe even somebody completely leaving us, a fear of being uncool, maybe even more extreme, a fear of complete separation, of rejection. I think that word rejection really captures a lot of the fear we have in relationships. And as I look at that, it really reminds me, we were made to belong. We were made to be connected to people. And that sense of like, who are my people and where do I belong is so strong in us. And I think God really wants us to know that we belong. And our fear is kind of connected to that. Well, what if I don't belong? What if I get disconnected from people, separated? And so it comes from a really healthy desire, but it comes out in these unhealthy ways. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. And that's what we're going to look at as we go. Our place of safety is not in like becoming so strong, but it's in a place where we are secure as we trust God. He's a safe place. And there's such a pit of fearing others. And it comes out in various ways, but that it's a horrible place. And I think we can fall into it and kind of get stuck. It becomes a trap. It becomes a place. It becomes so just commonplace. We don't even think about it. That's how we interact. And I even see it in me when I go home and I'm with my mom. I don't think I would have said this before, but I'm afraid of my mom and what reactions she might have. And so I kind of tiptoe around on eggshells a lot around my mom. And I really try to get my kids like, hey, kids, like, don't make grandma bristle. Like, and I think of it as like, this is how I can love my mom. But really, it's coming from a place of fear, of insecurity. And that insecurity is something in us that says, I need you. Or I need something from you. Maybe acceptance or something in order to know who I am. In order to feel okay with who I am. In order to feel safe. Or in order to feel valuable. And without that, I'm in this place of insecurity. And we can see some examples of this even in the Bible. You can see towards the end of John is talking about a couple of guys, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. So Nicodemus had visited Jesus in the night. And I would assume that was because he didn't want his other religious co-workers to know that he was going to Jesus. And it says Joseph, that he was a disciple of Jesus, but he was secretly a disciple because he was afraid of the Jewish leaders. And he was afraid of what would happen. He might get kicked out of where he was. He might lose something. He might lose status. He might lose a place of belonging. And so I think as we have tried to avoid this social pain, or even I would call it social death, this total rejection, many different problems can come up. I think it can tend to go down two paths. One of those is that we are trying to preserve ourselves against us being impacted by others. It's like, I'm afraid that they are going to impact me. And so this comes out as we get defensive in our relationships, where we fight for our positions, we stand up for our reputations or our lifestyles, we try to prove ourselves, we try to make ourselves look big in other people's eyes and even in our own eyes because secretly we feel kind of small. It looks like distrusting people, sometimes blaming people, even for our own problems, bitterness, aggressiveness. Sometimes it even turns into trying to control other people, trying to control the situation. And we might control other people with our anger, contempt, rejection, sometimes the silent treatment, or other creative ways of causing pain in others to get that place that feels safe and controlled. And then on the other side, I think the other common path is that we don't want us to impact others. And so we're trying to preserve ourselves against that. And so that will look like trying to please people, trying to keep the peace with others at any expense, even if it has nothing to do with us, placating them, withdrawing ourselves from them, entertaining people, trying to get them to like us, being different in different situations. It looks like trying to fit in, becoming a chameleon. At times, it even looks like denying things that are really important to us. In my life, it's even looked like denying the most important thing in my life, which is my relationship with Christ. Like Peter, oh, I don't know him. I'd rather have you happy with me. Even though it looks loving, it can actually be really dishonest. We can become two-faced. And also, it can turn into taking responsibility for other people. Taking responsibility for their reactions, taking responsibility for their emotions, their feelings, their choices. And that I think the real irony of this is the hope in this fear is like, my hope is I'm going to preserve myself. But really, in trying to preserve ourselves in this way, we totally lose ourselves. We can become almost a non-person. We're just like, in order to please other people, I've let go of all that I value, all that I want, and my intention is just to look good in someone's eyes or make them at peace with me. And so I think that's really ironic that the hope of preserving ourselves can actually lead to kind of losing ourselves. So I don't know which ones of those connect with you. I see this around me in really bizarre ways. There was a guy that came to one of our services a couple years ago, and I had just met him. It was the evening service. I dropped him off afterwards, and he sat in my car for a long time, and I needed to go home. Finally, he left, and we had a really interesting conversation. He was really broken. He had almost no family that cared about him. And he said to me, he said, one of the things that he does is when he's afraid someone might reject him, he'll make sure he rejects them first just because it's less painful. And I just thought, that's kind of interesting. That doesn't sound very constructive for relationships. I can see that being really destructive. And so a few days later, I got a text from a number I didn't recognize. And the text just said, hey, I really hated meeting you the other day, you white trash piece of... And then the next few sentences aren't appropriate for right now. But I didn't know who it was. And after a while, I texted back like, man, this person is mad. I don't know. Like, they must have gotten a fight with, like, they met somebody in a bar or what. So I texted back. I was like, hey, I think you have the wrong number. I'm really sorry somebody hurt you, man. This sounds rough. Peace. And then I got a text back. Oh, no, this is Peter. I just met you the other night. Like, what? Okay. And then over the course of the next couple of weeks, I would get random messages from all different numbers of just horrendous things, just slinging. And then he would say, hey, I think I really need you. Will you help me? And then just rail on me with all the words in the book. Like, what a strange way to try to deal with that fear of being close to people. Like, I'm afraid to have people close to me, but I'm afraid of being isolated. And we do these bizarre things. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can actually live in a place where we don't have fear in our relationships, where we can be with somebody, even somebody who's very different than us, even somebody who's really angry, and not be afraid. And we can really live in a place of not fear. So I want to just look at that. What would that look like? What would that look like? And just to dream a little, what would that look like for you to not have any fear in your relationships? And even think about, who do you know that as you watch them interact with people, it's like, wow, they don't have fear. Do you have any examples in your life that live that way? I think of an uncle. I feel like he can just be present with almost anybody. Just a whole spectrum of people, young and old, male and female, all different lifestyles and places of life, and just be there with who he is and not be like reactive or feel like he needs to pretend or be somebody else or walk on eggshells. And so that's the amazing thing that I think God is inviting us into. And the first part of that is to really know who we are. And when we really know who we are, we can live true to that. And so when I know who I am, when I'm comfortable in my own skin, I can be with someone and their stuff is their stuff and my stuff is my stuff, and I don't have to play these games. It's a really beautiful place to know really who we are. And so we don't have to change or pretend. We don't have to hide. We don't have to try to appease people. We can actually listen, even when we completely disagree. And in love and gentleness, speak what's important to us. What a beautiful place. The second thing I think it looks like is not being reactive. We're not offended by other people's faults, by their choices, by their emotions. It's like, that's your stuff. I don't have to be offended. And to be in that place where there's not an offense just because someone else has something going on in them. Recently had this book recommended to me. It's called Unoffendable. And he says in there, we should forfeit our right to be offended. That sentence by itself is basically what I'm going to share. What an amazing thing. We should forfeit our right to be offended. I don't have a right to be offended by you. That's actually really freeing. It's like, well, I want to keep that right. No, I don't. I'd rather not be offended. Why would I want someone else to be able to control my reaction? And it's so easy. Even in the church, I see people that are so reactive, defensive. He goes on, that means forfeiting our right to hold on to anger. When we do this, we'll be making a sacrifice that's very pleasing to God. It strikes at our very pride. It forces us not only to think about humility, but to actually be humble. Another thing that not being having fear in others, it looks like being responsible for what I am responsible for and not what someone else is responsible for. And this I think is huge. This is kind of the framework of what people call boundaries. Boundary means I have a property and you have a property. And the things in your property belong to you. And the things in my property belong to me. I always thought that boundaries meant just building the wall. But it means even if you don't build a wall, you still have we're separate people. And so some of the things that I'm responsible for, I am responsible for my behaviors. I am responsible for my choices. I am responsible for my feelings. I can't say someone made me mad. No. I am responsible for my attitudes. I am responsible for my thoughts, my desires, my abilities, my disabilities. Those are my responsibility. your thoughts, feelings, etc. are your responsibility. And this is like, man, I read this in this book, Changes That Heal, and this is the most obvious thing, and you guys are like, duh, yeah. And I never realized that I take responsibility for other people's feelings. And this just really struck me. So Henry Cloud writes it, if we feel responsible for other people's feelings, we can no longer make decisions based on what is right. We will make decisions based on how others feel about our choices. Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you in Luke 6:26. If we are always trying to keep everyone happy, then we cannot make the choices required to live correctly and freely. We cannot determine how successfully we are living our lives by who is unhappy with us. If we feel responsible for other people's displeasure, we are being controlled by others, not God. Okay, he goes on to say, please hear something loud and clear. We should always be sensitive to others' feelings about our choices, but we should never take responsibility for how they feel. Taking responsibility for someone else's feelings is actually the most insensitive thing we can do because we are crossing into another's territory. Wow. So you mean if my mom is mad at me, that's her deal, not mine. Whoa. My whole life I thought it was my responsibility to try to calm my mom's anger. And I thought that was a nice thing to do. It's actually the most insensitive thing I could do. Anyways, some of you guys will connect with some of these. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I could care less about other people's feelings. Maybe some of the other ones connect with you more. I think that's been really powerful for me to learn. And then the last thing is just, we could have conversations filled with compassion and love. As we become secure in ourselves being loved and knowing who we are, then we can engage with other people without being afraid of them, even if they're reactive, even if they're manipulative, etc., and without ourselves becoming reactive or manipulative as well. And so part of this is that in conversations, I'm allowed to speak freely. I know I already shared this 2 weeks ago. I wrote this down in my journal. I've just been reminding myself. I'm allowed to speak freely. What is it that has so much convinced me that I should not speak freely? I think the evil one wants to put us in a place where we're afraid, oh, I can't speak what's important to me. It might offend somebody else. And we have permission to speak freely and lovingly things that are important to us. And on the flip side, I think the evil one would like us to be reactive and offended. And he's allowed us to be with somebody that is completely different and truly listen to them and truly care for them with compassion and understanding, kindness. So without fear, we can engage in these conversations really directly, although gently. A lack of fear is not this cocky thing. Actually, that's fear just covered up. A lack of fear means that I can be gentle and just steadfast, trusting in God. And so I think this is the important question. Okay, how do we get there? Obviously, if I was really secure in God and who I was, that would sure take away a lot of fear. So how do I get that secure anchor? I think that the true anchor is in God's love. The true anchor is in knowing that we are deeply, deeply loved. And from that anchor that God's love is perfect for us. It is perfect in how big it is. A love so big that he would send his son to die for us. And it's a love that's perfect in how permanent it is. It will never end. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so for me, I believe that is our anchor. That is our anchor from which we can walk in relationships without fear and find our security in Him. I just want to read this because it says what I wanted to say. God loves you. He loves you with a love that doesn't change day to day, that isn't dependent on our performance. God loves us with a love that meets our deepest needs, a love that never ends, even in death, a love that protects and trusts and sees the best. God's love is a love that never gives up on us, that sacrifices Himself for our sake. It is a love that transforms us and makes us who we truly ought to be. It's a love that gives and grows with time. God loves us because He has chosen to love us. He loves us because God is love. God's offer of love is to be with Him, to know Him, and to be known by Him. His love is a secure place where we have nothing to hide. That is so true and so good. I just want to give a couple recommendations. What would that look like? How can I allow the love of God to become my anchor more and more? I know that He loves me. There's still a gap into my heart sometimes. How can I let the love of God really, really sink in and become this secure place from which I can live and love others? Just like three recommendations I would have. The first is that we have to learn how to allow God to love us. Sometimes it's really hard to let ourselves be loved. And based on 1 Corinthians 12, I feel like the two things that really make us stiff-arm the love of God, one is when something in us says, I don't need love. Oh, I'm beyond that. I don't need God's love. I'm a man. I'm an island. Whatever it might be. But a part of us that says, I don't need love. And then the second thing I think that can cause us to stiff-arm God's love and not allow Him to love us, it says, I'm not worthy of your love. I don't really belong. You could never really love me. There's something in me, maybe if I perform, you could like me, but you could never just love me. And to learn to let our guard down and let God love us can be really hard. And it involves spending time with God, to really spend time with the God of love who loves you, and let Him love you during your failures, and let Him love you during your highest moments where you feel like you are the greatest person on earth, and to let Him love you. I'm learning how to let God love me more and more without just performing and trying to earn it. What an amazing gift. The second thing I would recommend is that we need to deal with our distrust and our insecurity. It's there. We got to deal with it through honest interactions with God. And I would love to offer myself just in my natural what gifting that God has put in me. I love to help people deal honestly with the stuff in their life. And I think God's given me some tools and resources. Obviously, that would mean like, hey, Dove, can you meet with me one time and I'll deal with all my stuff? Yeah, I wish. I wish I could do that. It's a journey, and it's a little scary. Open up what's inside of you. Woo! No, it's not there, Lord. I'll just put that back down. I don't want to deal with that. Where's the lid? We'll put a lid on that. And when I started dealing honestly with some of the stuff inside of my heart, oh man, I felt like I was back a long ways. It's not like that stuff wasn't there. It had been there for a long time. But I thought I was beyond it because I wasn't dealing with it. God is really gracious and he's really gentle. God doesn't just rip it open and say, all right, son, we're going to deal with all of your pain from your mom today. Like, no, God is super gentle. The way he works with me is like, if I was aware of all my sin all at once, I would die. There was no way I could look at it. But God works with us little by little with what we're able to handle. And things will come up as like, ooh, wow. I treated my wife that way. This is in me. And I just encourage you in that process. God is gentle. He's not there to beat you up, make you look foolish. He's not a God you need to hide from. He's a God you can show him everything inside of you, which he already knows. You haven't done a good job hiding, even though we've tried. And he loves us to pieces. And wants to his love to transform those. Not like, get yourself into shape. He wants his love to go into that place and love it enough to change it. And lastly, just another idea. I really feel like it's important that we have to learn how to receive love from one another. Because God's expression of himself is his body, our other people in the family of God. And he loves us through other people. And the challenging thing is, God's perfect love is being expressed in imperfect ways. And all the people that love you are going to let you down. Their love is imperfect. But their love is an expression of that perfect love that God wants us to know and experience. And from that place of really knowing his love, we can have an anchor. We can truly come to a place where we don't have to be afraid. Recently was one of the first times I've typically read this, and sometimes in the Bible it's a very strong command. Hey, stop being afraid. Don't be afraid. And recently I heard this as the loving call of a father. Hey, you don't have to be afraid. I got this. I'm with you. What do you have to fear? I'm by your side. I like how Jesus says it in Luke 12. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is a tender. You don't need to be afraid. I want to read 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 21. It's on the back of your thing. I'm not going to dig into it. I just want to read it and just let it kind of sink in. I'm going to read it slow. I love what God says about love, that he is love, that he is the source of our ability to love, and that our love for other people is connected to God's love. They're intertwined. And we can't say I love God and not love people. They are connected into one package. So, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Hallelujah. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your deep and awesome, unchanging, unfailing love for us. God, I ask that you would root us and ground us in the secure bedrock of your love, that we might be a loving presence in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.